Good morning. We're running a little bit late this morning, so. Would you join me this morning in prayer? Almighty God, we have come before you this morning to give you praise and glory, to worship you, to sing songs to you, and to hear from your word. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified and honored through all of it, that you would open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us this day, and that you would prepare us even now. We love you, we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome, everyone. In your worship folders is, like it's going to be, hopefully from now on, a half a sheet of paper, both sides, that has the study questions about today's sermon. So you can take that home and have it. Also in front of you are prayer cards in the seat in front of you. You can fill those out. We will take and gather those up here in a little bit, and then they will be placed on the altar so that you can come up and get one if you want so choose to do so. And then they can be taken home and watched over. They will also be put online, and they will be put online, I guess that's all I need, on Facebook and other ways. Good morning.
Ah, it is working.
You want it not to?
No, I want it to work. You may not want to. We are working our way through Matthew. We are in chapter 6. We've gone through the Lord's Prayer, and we're just a little bit beyond that. And we're going to look at chapter 6, 19 through 24 in just a couple minutes here. Last week, we looked at how fasting is about making room for God, right? When you fast, you're to take that time and spend it with the Lord, with what you would normally be doing. If it's a meal or whatever, if it's your time on Facebook or your time watching TV, not that any of us have trouble with those things, but we need to spend a little bit more time and make room for him in our lives, and that's why we talked about fasting. And we're to fast, as Steve said to us earlier, we're to fast without bragging about it, without whining and complaining about it. We're to do it in secret so that your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The Lord's Prayer and all that Jesus said about forgiveness and fasting is tied in with and through verse 18. And I'm going to read that to you here in just a second. And it goes with what follows after. So we'll start at verse 18 and we'll work our way down through 24. Let's go back to 17 because it's the sentence. Sorry. But as for you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that your fasting will not be noticed by people, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loved by one, be devoted to one, and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. The word there is mammon, right? There may be, you may have that in there, the last word, instead of wealth. So it's not just, or some of your translations say money. It's not just money. It's everything together. It's all that you have. It's wealth, right? Wealth can be described in different ways with different folks. I want you to see here where Jesus shifts from practices to priorities. He's told us all the things that we need to practice. Now he's switching to priorities. From prayer and fasting to treasure. The segue is the very end of verse 18. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you in secret. Now keep in mind that God does not see as a man sees, since man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us that. We've got to remember these things. He's looking at our hearts. He knows what your treasure is, what you treasure in your heart, and we know it that the heart is what motivates us, right? We've been talking about that. Behind everything, what you hold in your heart motivates you to do everything that you do, what you treasure. Now, we all want good things. Every one of us. I've never seen anybody that goes out of their way to buy cheap junk. Okay? We all want good things. Things that will last. Nobody wants shoddy or flimsy products that will break or be useless the next time you go to use them. In my younger days, made sure that I bought Craftsman, and then as time changed, Cobalt, because then those tools all come with a lifetime warranty. Okay? But I've come to understand that lifetime isn't what it used to be. It's just the way life is. Now, I still have most of those tools that I bought, but like I said, things just they aren't just what they used to be. Just time is different. A friend of mine was putting on a screen door, and he says, it's got a lifetime warranty. I said, a lifetime warranty on a screen door? He said, yeah, 10 years. Yep. It's getting there, isn't it, guys? Time creeps up on you. All right. All that being said, everything, including all the stuff that I've accumulated, is temporary. It's temporary. All that stuff will only last for a short period of time. Especially in the grand scheme of things, if you think about it. They will become outdated, like a cassette player. Yeah, or 8-track. How about a set of encyclopedias? Gone the way of the dodo. Or how about a gift card from Blockbuster? Things that we once thought were valuable just aren't anymore. Stuff. We all have stuff that we tend to hold on to that is usable in the here and now. But earthly treasures will rot and rust and decay. And if the worldly things have value, they can be stolen. And if it did outlast you and is of great value, you can't take it with you.
Which one?
No. Behave yourself. You do not see this in a funeral procession. There he goes. So now you know what I look like without my shirt on.
That's from the donut.
Oh. There's only so much you can do with him.
You're not in control.
I am not. Never have been. I will get even. There will be a meeting. This is family.
Amen.
And then family loves to pick. Okay, let's get it back to where we need to be here. Jesus is teaching that we should keep an eye on and for things that will last. That's what he's teaching us here. And the things of this world are all temporary. I remember one of the guys I worked with when I was working at the plant. I said, how come you aren't getting upset that you're behind? He said, he's sitting there eating a sandwich and he goes, this is all going to burn. What makes the difference? Do the best you can, because that's what we're called to do, and move on. It's all going to burn. It's temporary, right? When the earth is destroyed, it's all going to burn. That's what he was referring to. Which, it's just one of those things. It's a mindset you get. You have to understand that this is temporary. But there are treasures that are not. Heavenly treasures. Things that are not of this world, that have no physical presence. Love, kindness, patience. You can't hold those in your hand, but they're worth a lot. They're worth a lot. But you can also witness the results of what produces heavenly treasure. Okay? Think about this. Like I said, you can't see love, patience, humility, or self-control. You can't see forgiveness. But those heavenly treasures become visible when a person forgives quickly, loves sacrificially, responds gently. Let me repeat that one because we all have a tendency not to use that one. Responds gently when a harsh word is spoken or not. And we need to practice that at home, folks, not just out in the world. And when I point out to you, there's 3 pointing back at me. We see it when children learn to pray. We see it when people walk humbly. They choose purity. They practice generosity. Our Father sees the fruit of these things. And that is our heavenly treasure. Things that can't be stored up here. The results of our kindness. Our love. In the kingdom, because that's what we're talking about, right? That's the general of all of what Matthew's talking about is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of God. Same place. In the kingdom, we see the impact of heavenly treasures. Heavenly treasure is relational. Oh, that makes a difference. It manifests when your life becomes a blessing to someone else. Wow. Like I said, you see it when there's forgiveness, when a discouraged person finds hope, when broken relationships and marriages heal, when children learn to pray. And when God's love is expressed and someone comes to faith because of your witness. These are the treasures our Father sees. He sees those things that are intangible. You may not be able to see those heavenly treasures now, but you can see the ripple effects of a life invested in God's kingdom and of those seeking to have that treasure in heaven. We see it around us all the time. It may not be like, oh, I'm doing this to get a heavenly treasure, because that's the wrong reason to do it. You do it out of love, right? Jesus said that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. What you treasure will be what motivates you. What you treasure will be what you keep your eye on. Treasure is anything that you consider precious. If you want to know what that is, look at what you invest your time in. Where your attention is, where your money goes, your energy, your affection. What you're loyal to. What are you placing first, right? What's your priority? Are you motivated for things of this world, or are you kingdom motivated to righteousness, to God's glory, to His word, and to obedience? Luke 12. You don't have to go there, but this is Luke 12, 15 through 21. And I called or texted Brock the other morning and said, hey, are you have the bulletins done? Yeah. And I said, never mind. Because this is the one I added. Luke 12, verses 15 through 21. Jesus is teaching. And Jesus says, but he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one is affluent does his life consist of his possessions. Not even then. And he told them this parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began thinking to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones. And I will store all my grain and my goods there. And I will say to myself, you have many goods stored up for many years to come. Relax, eat and drink and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you. And as for all that you have prepared, who will own it then? Who will own it then? Bigger barns, right? I've got to build bigger barns. Got to have more stuff. I've got to get a better job so I can get another boat or a bigger boat or another camper or a bigger house. Treasures. Where is your heart? God's love or love for the world? What's in your heart? God's love or love for the world? We're warned against worldly things all the time. We don't get what we ask for because we ask with worldly passions and looking for those. Now this is all tied together. And verses 22 and 23, it starts out, the eye is the lamp of the body. Why in the middle of talking about money, because we get to money on the last verse that we read today, why in the middle of money does he start talking about eye and light and darkness in the midst of it? We don't get it right away, but they would have. They would have got it. It's out of place for us. And I think we lose understanding in the translation. In my footnotes, back where I was at in Matthew 6, on verse 22, or healthy, okay, we're talking about the eye, right? And bad was evil. You ever heard of evil eye? We're going to look at some of that today. Three places in Proverbs, and I'm going to read them to you. You don't have to go there. They're in your further reading. 22:9, 22:9. One who is generous will be blessed because he gives some of his food to the poor. This is the translation, right? In the original translation, it says, one who has a good eye. Well, now we're starting to make a little bit of sense of why Jesus is talking up there, right? And then in Proverbs 23:6, do not eat of the bread of a selfish person or desire his delicacies. In verse 7, for he thinks within himself, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. So if we go down to the footnotes, literally an evil eye. Do not eat the bread of a person with an evil eye. That's what the original translation would have said. Makes a little bit more sense when Jesus is talking about. One more. 28:22 of Proverbs. A person with an evil eye hurries after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. The evil eye thing. We need to understand a little bit more of that. What you keep your eye on can cloud your vision or make it clear one way or the other. Have you heard the story about the young couple? We'll call them Mary and Ted. They got married. They moved into this new house and their kitchen window overlooked the neighbor's yard where she hung her laundry. And the young lady, Mary, would complain to Ted while they were eating breakfast, that woman's clothes are never clean. They always look dirty. And this goes on for a few weeks. And one morning she's sitting there with him and she goes, I wonder what she did. The clothes look so good and so clean. And he goes, I don't know what she did, but I washed the window. What we look through influences everything. It influences everything. Unforgiveness, as we talked about, I can't help but mentioning it, can be that window that we're looking through. And it colors everything that we're looking at. Now, in Jewish thought, the eye represents focus, desire, intention, and moral direction. A healthy eye, literally if you read it, it's single or undivided. Okay, the healthy eye, which we translate as healthy or clear, is fixed on God, sees clearly, fills the whole person with light. Let's face it, if your windows are dirty, you're not getting the light you need, right? If you put a plant in the window and it's dirty, it's not going to get the sunlight it needs, and it's going to die. We have to be careful about that. We have to understand it. We need to fill the whole person, all of us. We need to be filled with light. Now, the bad eye, literally evil or clouded, right, is distracted, is greedy or divided, fills the whole person with darkness. We need to be very careful about what we take in through our eyes because it's going to influence what we look at as well. We need to be very careful with that. Jesus is telling them and us that what you look at shapes what you love, what you concentrate on, what you got your eye on. You can't see the kingdom clearly if your eyes are fixed on things that don't last. And as I said, these things are not physical, but their results are visible. You can't see humility, generosity, purity, forgiveness, devotion, faithfulness, but you can certainly see their fruit. People can see the fruit that you're bearing. You'll know a tree by its fruit, what Jesus tells us, right? A person storing treasure in heaven sees differently because of their clear vision, because of their clear eye, right? You can see the clear eye when someone discerns what truly matters, isn't preoccupied with worldly pursuit, eyes people with compassion, recognizes where and when God is working, and they are kingdom focused. A healthy eye produces a luminous life. Think about that. It's a lamp, right? It produces a luminous light to help everybody else. We're not supposed to hide our lamp. The light that we have, like, you know, put it under a bushel, as it said, we're supposed to let it shine. But if all the person can see is darkness because of whatever they've been looking at, if their eye is evil, then they will have, and all they will do is keep their eye on out for themselves. They may gain treasure here on earth where moth destroys and thieves break in and where things rot and rust and decay. These people are usually tight-fisted, unforgiving, and they can only see the negative in every circumstance, being unable to see the good because of the bad or evil eye. I don't want any of us to be that way. Now, each of us can, with the Lord's help, make our eye healthy and clear. And we do that by taking in the very word of God and putting into action the knowledge we receive by faith. You cannot, as the last verse we're looking at today, serve two masters. You are either devoted to the one or the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. wealth. It's not just money. It's the things of the world. It's stuff. The more you own, the more owned you. How many of you have witnessed or experienced having a camp and then a home? You have to run up and take care of things at camp. You have to mow the grass. You have to take care of that camp, and you still have everything at house. Something suffers. And you know what it usually is? It's not the things. It's the family. It's your relationships. The more you own, the more owned you. And the man who taught me that, boat, cars, some that he didn't drive but once every blue moon because you don't take a 79 Super B out in the rain. He was very wise when he told me that, and it stuck with me. The more you own, the more owns you. Our Father sees what's in our hearts. He knows what your treasure is. Do you want bigger barns or treasures in heaven? That's something we have to, every decision we make has to be looked at through that lens, through a clear-eyed lens. So in closing, who do you serve? Examine your life. Look at what you say, what your priorities are, where your money goes. Jesus promises that our Father who sees in secret will reward you. As these heavenly treasures are not tangible, the rewards may not be either. Oh. The reward that is often revealed to us is a deeper intimacy with God, answered prayer, spiritual authority, joy that circumstances can't touch, peace that surpasses all understanding, and a heart that is filled with and for the love of God and His kingdom. Heavenly treasures are not stored in this world, but they absolutely show up through the life of a believer. Our Father sees and stores our heavenly treasures for us. What are you doing to lay up treasures in heaven? What are you doing with your everyday lives that's laying up treasures in heaven? Altars are open. We're going to sing one more song. It's time to lay down the worldly pursuits and think about what God has for you, to lay up treasures in heaven. And I don't know about you, but I've always needed help doing that. And He's right there. The Holy Spirit is right here, right now. And He wants to help you. Because our Father wants to see all of us get our heavenly treasures when we get there. Would you stand as we go to the Lord in prayer? Holy and righteous God, we thank You for Your word, for Your love of us and Your mercy toward us. We thank You, Lord, that You gather the treasures that are produced when we follow after You. That, Lord, when we walk by faith and not by sight, You see it all. You see, Lord. You are the Father who sees all. And we thank You, Lord, for Your love of us and Your mercy toward us. Help us, Lord, to walk according to Your will, to lay up treasures in heaven. In Jesus' name. We're going to take communion today. And if it's been a while and you haven't been here with us before, we'll come down through the middle, come out. come down through the middle and go back around the outside to get back into where you go. If you need help with this, let one of us know, and we'll make sure you get communion. Mindy's getting the kids in the front. John, could you get the folks in the front, please? Mindy's getting the ones in the back. Would you get the ones in the front? It's backwards for me, and I'd mess it up anyway. In 1 Corinthians, which I like this one better than some of the other ones, let's close. We'll take communion here. There's no use of them at home going watching. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the food that we are going to partake in and the fellowship that comes after. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.